Providence County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
I'm here.
Ms. Chuck?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna? Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
14 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
I'd like to ask for an executive session at the end of this meeting to talk about labor negotiations, real estate negotiations, and a personnel matter. So, are there any members of the public who would like to address the legislature? We don't have any signed up, right?
No.
Is there anyone there who'd like to speak to us? Okay. Any municipal officials? I don't see anyone.
Too cold.
All right. Legislator privilege of the floor. I'd like to start with Leslie McBean Claiborne.
Can I go next?
Can you go next? You bet. Who else would like to go? Pam.
Yes, I would just like to let folks know last week we had a phone conference with DOT officials from Albany. And the mayor of Skaney Atlas, the town supervisor of Owasco, and a number of other people about the garbage transport truck issue. And the from everything that we've heard, the traffic has moved back onto the interstate highway more. We're one of the reasons we had the phone conversation was to begin the final decision making in terms of DOT inspection sites throughout the region. Our region will have two. One of them will be in Frank. I think there's some sort of DOT garage or facility out in the town of Caroline on Route 79.
I think it's at Chris Bell's.
Okay. Okay. That they were going to make that a DOT inspection site for any trucks coming through. And then there'll be an inspection site down in Owego on right where Route 38 and Route 96 come together, because that's the other main way that trucks come up through our area. And so they are going to be putting those in place and as one more piece in this, or many-legged chair, of trying to keep the transport trucks on the interstate highway. And once again, if people out there have an opinion on whether the transport trucks traffic has gone down, I would really love to hear from you. Or if they think it's not gone down, I would like to hear from them, because this is sort of an important moment, and I the more information I have, the better I can advocate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pam. Frank.
Madam Chair, let me ask you a question first. Are we going to have a discussion regarding our NYSEG, our NYSAC visitations? Because I'd like to give a report on the Blue Ribbon Commission, and I can hold off and not do it under this part.
Yeah, we're going to do that as instead of a special topical presentation.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Anyone else? Nathan.
You know, with the state budget, we're obviously going to be talking a lot about the cuts that we're the victim of, and we'll be talking about how, you know, we'll be criticizing the governor and the state legislature and others for their actions. And people have told me, well, what do you expect to do about it? And I'm just going to lay it out right now that I really think that we need to obviously tax the wealthy in New York State more. And in January 13th, I believe, there was a New York Times article that talked about this, and it said that a 2% tax on the wealthy in New York State would generate $9.1 billion, which it would close most of the $10 billion budget deficit that we have in New York State. I'm not saying that's the only option. Obviously, you have to tighten your belts and cut some spending, but I just don't understand how taxing the wealthy is completely off the table, and yet cutting programs for adoption subsidies, for helping elderly find long-term care, and for other very critically important programs. Why? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, and cutting administration costs for early intervention programs here in the county. I just don't understand why developmentally disabled people and the elderly can be the targets of these cuts, and yet we just can't even talk about taxing the wealthy. It boggles my mind, and actually I do question the morals of my leaders, and I'm talking about you, Andrew Cuomo. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you just added Andrew Cuomo as you were looking at me. So
talking about you.
Just for clarification, are you talking about extending the current surcharge or additional 2%? Additional. Okay. Thank you. And then I saw Mike.
In the depth of February, in the bad weather and the nasty, slippery roads, I think it's nice to take a minute to thank our county employees who are out there. The sheriff's road patrols driving those slippery roads to protect people for their normal kinds of calls and also for accidents. Certainly our highway department for being out there on roads that none of us want to be on. Even if they're in big vehicles, they're still in danger every time they drive them. County nurses, health department people out there, and dispatchers. It's all right that we stop and think about them a little bit. They do a great job for us, and particularly in these bad times of weather-wise and economic-wise, we need to thank them all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else? Leslie, you're going to? All right.
Leslie must go
back. He's waving his hands.
Just wanted to alert folks to something that I discovered when reading the note from the Westdale Community Civic Association email list, on which I am. Apparently there's been people going door to door on Westdale, presumably other parts of the community, encouraging people to change their energy supplier. And frequently they will ask the homeowner to show them their bills, and then what's been happening apparently is that without the homeowner's permission, they've actually found themselves switched to a more expensive provider. So how much this is happening, I don't know, but it's something, certainly if somebody comes to your door, you do not want to necessarily share your even your billing information unless you have called them. And I would also point people to the Public Service Commission, which has a very excellent website where you can do a cost comparison for all the different providers, what it would cost you if you choose to switch. Some of them have penalties, others do not. But that's the Public Service Commission, or PSC, website. And that's it.
Thank you, Will. Leslie, you're in.
Sure.
Okay, go. All right, good.
Sure, I'll come up front too. Okay, it's my turn to present the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award for this month of February. I asked to go last because I was holding out, hoping that the principal who made this nomination will be here. He did say he had a meeting that ended around 5:30 and was going to dash over here, but he couldn't make it. So we wouldn't keep our distinguished youth waiting because the principal had some very important meeting to be at other than be here. I'll talk about him. Yes, I will. All right. It is definitely my honor and my privilege. I want to call Marcus and his family and friends. Come on up here and join me. Come on up, all of you. It's okay. Paparazzi, too. Come on. So Marcus is a student, a senior at the Lehman Alternatives Community School. And when I put the call out for youth to be honored with this award in our community, the principal at Lehman Alternative School was one who responded. And I want to take a moment to just read some of what he had to say. Starting his opening paragraph, he says, one student who sticks out to me is a young, quiet, and reserved gentleman, young, quiet, and reserved, who I have seen grown into a lead by example distinguished youth. His name is Marcus Wilkinson. Marcus is a senior. He has been a student at LACS since sixth grade. Through the years, he has deftly navigated the social landscape and watched as close friends have struggled at times with choices. While he seems to have mustered the courage and conviction to avoid some of the pitfalls of his peers, at the same time has been there for these friends through thick and thin. Thank you for being there for them. In recent years, as an older student in the school, Marcus has become an active member of the school's local VOR committee. You're going to have to help me out. What's the local VOR committee?
It's a committee that helps to provide organic local food.
Got it. Got it. Okay. So this committee has been directly involved in Marcus with the community's youth farm initiative that has brought area teens from around the country, area teens and teens from around the county, to collaboratively grow and harvest fresh produce for local schools and organizations. Marcus also elected to commit to an in-depth community service initiative during his junior year that had him committing hundreds of hours of service within the greater community, including working with incarcerated youth at the Lansing Residential Youth Center, as well as with the Freedom School located on the Apasazni Reservation, several hours upstate, committed to preserving through teaching the native Mohawk language and culture. Last year, he also served as a founding core member of our school's self-designed mentoring and ally program. This past November, Marcus traveled to San Francisco and co-led a workshop focusing on cross-age mentoring at a national education conference. With an interest in automotives and engineering, he has been involved in the installation of the veggie fuel conversion, my favorite part of all of this, and maintenance for the LACS Community Studies bus. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He is currently serving an internship at Tatum. Tatum Engineering has his sights set on focusing his college studies on environmental engineering. As you all can see, and as I could see, Marcus has distinguished himself as a young person that has done some impressive things for his school and community. And there, the principal walked in right as I was finishing that note. You can come on up, Joe. So I do want to add, I had an opportunity to stop by the school and meet Marcus. My son also attends LACS, and when I mentioned that Marcus had been nominated, he had a lot of good things to say about you, Marcus. And then I got to realize this afternoon that I actually do know Marcus's mom. We go way back on a grant project called the Cornell Ithaca Partnership. And so I see where he gets his sense of conviction for community service from. His mom, his dad, and friends, and Joe. You don't have to sit in the back. So, Marcus, congratulations. We are proud. I am proud. The legislature is proud to recognize you as our February's Distinguished Youth in Tompkins County. And here is a plaque. The Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Marcus Wilkinson in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, February 2011. It is sponsored, the Distinguished Youth Award is sponsored by Bangs Ambulance Service, the Tompkins County Legislature, Cayuga Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and A&B Awards and Engraving. So, here you go. Congrats. You're very welcome. Oh, there's a whole box of stuff. You want to say anything? All right, and you have a whole box of
other goodies from the wonderful sponsors. Thanks again. Thanks, Celie. Thank you, Rob.
And if you listen to WHCU 870 AM tomorrow morning, they'll be talking about you. So listen.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Anyone else have a legislative privilege of the floor? All right. Well, instead of a special topic presentation from a department head tonight, we thought we would sort of debrief folks on our experiences at NYSAC last week. I was there with Joe and David and Peter, Carol, and Will, and Frank was there for one day as well. And it was, I would say, more intense than usual. It was, clearly a critical time for counties, and we had a number of interesting experiences at the conference, but also in the Capitol, where we met with people in the Speaker's office, in the office of the Senate Finance Committee, and in the Governor's office. So I would just start off by sort of summarizing that even though we NYSAC includes 62 counties that have all different kinds of political representation, have solved their financial problems in all different kinds of ways. We had one conversation with a county that was really recommending having a landfill. And what else was it, Will? It was a landfill and
A gas line going through the county.
A gas line. That's the way you solve your financial problems. So every county has kind of dealt with financial challenges in different ways. We were completely united on the issue of the tax cap as proposed by our governor and approved by our Senate, still under negotiation in the Assembly, but tax cap that prohibits new mandates that are unfunded, but says not a word about the ones we currently labor under. So we're completely united on that, and some people have more of a sense, well, New York should cut all the mandates. Some people have more of a sense that counties want more flexibility, so we can decide locally about Medicaid eligibility or how much indigent defense to provide, or et cetera. Some of us, I think, we were more in the camp of the state should take responsibility for its own decisions, that mandates have various good intentions and good public policy reasons that they're there, and they're part of a long history of New York State taking care of the needy. It's written into our Constitution, and we didn't really think that the solution was 62 different Medicaid programs, for example, but that we really need to see the state take responsibility. We'll be partners. We are the administrative arm of the state. We operate their programs on the ground, and we are willing to share. We're not willing to pay the lion's share of the cost. There were several workshops on the state budget as proposed by the governor. It's clear there are there's still new cost shifts, unfunded cost shifts in the governor's proposals. Joe's mentioned some of those in the past. Will and I were at the Health and Human Services Committee on the first day of the conference, which was led by some of the social service commissioners who know this stuff inside and out. And their strong feeling was this is a continuation of a trend, a real backing away from the state's constitutional responsibility to take care of its people. And things like probation, if probation initially was 46% state funded, and now with Cuomo's proposals will be, is it 10 or 12% state funding, Joe?
It's at 13%.
The total state reimbursement will be 13%. And yet the state tells us how to run probation. All down the line, they have continued to insist on their decision-making, their definition of how programs should be run, but continually backed away from their share of the funding. And as Jim has pointed out to us, the one cute example, in early intervention is obviously one of our mandates. It's also a mandate to school districts. And it had been a shared responsibility, with the state having 20% of the funding. What are we, 43%, Jim? And the school district is 36%, something like that?
Yes.
Well, and Governor Cuomo's budget proposes that the 20% share by the state be moved to the school district.
Right.
So, just like that. So it's, counties aren't to be singled out entirely for this kind of treatment, but since we are the more than cities, towns, and school districts, we're literally running their programs. We have even more of a fundamental relationship in this way. It's not that if they change the WICS law, we'll have more flexibility. If they change the tri-borough amendment, we'll have more flexibility. And those are things where they, that actually wouldn't cost the state anything to change the legislative guidelines that other municipalities and the school districts say are raising their expenses. But the things that we do, if we're to have relief from those costs, in many ways, it would cost the state more. So we are, we're very concerned, and everything we heard at NYSEC made us even more concerned. We had the very interesting experience that the governor chose not to attend. He didn't send the lieutenant governor either. He had the prime speaking spot on the middle day of the conference and just did not attend. In addition, executive staff from the agencies and from the governor's office had been scheduled to speak at many of the workshops to make presentations. They were instructed not to attend at the last minute. They'd been confirmed as little as a week before the NYSEC conference. The day before the conference opened, one of the NYSEC staff told me all of them started getting text messages that so-and-so from the Department of Health wasn't going to come, so-and-so from the Department of Budget just wasn't going to come. So we felt it was a very deliberate decision that they either couldn't or wouldn't face the New York State Association of Counties at this time. I thought that was extremely disappointing. I could go on, but I would like to, I'll let Joe talk about the presentations that we made. As I said, we met with Jim Alatras on the second floor of the governor's office. We met with Jim Yates and Luann Saccone from Assembly's Speaker Silver's office, and Mary Clark in the Senate Finance Committee, and basically gave them this presentation. And Joe, why don't you run through it?
Right. We also gave a personal presentation to Speaker Silver, also in kind of a coincidental encounter. I'm handing out a PowerPoint that I'm not going to give you tonight. You've seen most of this PowerPoint, but I did want to show you what we were using as our talking points and our leave behind to people that we met with in Albany, beginning with the property tax cap, and we've spoken at length about the property tax cap.
Excuse me, Jim, can we make sure Liz Lawyer has one? Thank you. I think Marcia has it.
So we explain basically the concerns that we have with the property tax cap, and I think the most succinct argument we had is that over time we've become accustomed to the increasing cost of unfunded mandates from the state. Every year that those bills get increasingly higher. And over time, though, we've had the ability to rely on, as we've described it before, a three-legged stool to respond to those increases in mandated costs. We've been able to look at our local property tax levy and make decisions about whether we have the capacity to raise that levy to help pay for those mandated costs. That's leg number one. Leg number two, we've had home rule latitude. From time to time, we look at our revenue mix and we make decisions about appropriate ways to raise additional income to pay for higher mandated costs. So that's number two. Number three, the other way we've been able to offset mandated expenses is we cut other things, and that's freed up resources to pay for mandated costs. And what we try to explain to the state is what is in the process of happening right now. If property taxes are capped, we've lost one leg of that three-legged stool. We won't be able to pay for increased mandated costs by looking at adjustments to our property tax levy. We also, we experienced it last year, and we're concerned about it this year. We hear that in the Senate, there's an inclination not to approve any home rule requests that have money attached to it. So leg number two of the stool may be gone, which means that the only way we will have to offset the increasing cost of mandates in the future is that last leg of the stool, which is cutting everything else in our budget, everything within the discretionary column. So we tried to impress on the state how difficult that will be for all counties who face the specter of increased mandated costs, which is why it's so important. If there's going to be a discussion about property tax caps, there has to be a corresponding discussion about meaningful mandate relief. And as Martha has said, and we tried to impress this on the state that doesn't seem to quite understand how counties are different, mandate relief to us is less about unshackling us from certain mandates like the Wicks Law. It's a lot simpler than that. It's about the bills that we're sent every year and told to pay. And real mandate relief to us is cutting those bills so that we don't face this annual increase in mandated costs only to be faced with the property tax cap. So we tried to convey that message wherever we went. And as Martha's indicated, we did speak to some fairly high-level people in state government, and hopefully we're helping to spread the message to them. So that was the basic fiscal presentation that we made to our elected reps in Albany.
So I'd like to invite folks who attended to add in, and I may throw in a couple more things at the end if somebody else doesn't cover them. Will.
Thank you, Martha. To me, what was shocking was the realization that this new governor does not view counties as critical partners, but rather as students of clients or deliverers, or as it's been framed in the newspaper over and over, special interests. And we are, as we all know, critical to the place where the state touches our citizenry, and we are mandated to deliver those services. And it was very, very discouraging to see how we were being viewed and sort of take it or leave it attitude. One of the things that we got at the conference was a document which has been put together by NYSAC. Maybe you saw, Joe sent it around, a revised copy today. But this is a series of suggestions collected from members that ideas for relieving mandates. And we tried to sort of, once we saw the draft, tried to make some suggestions for improving. One thing, as you're reading through these, you should be aware of is that NYSAC did not go through and attempt to evaluate any of these suggestions, and some of these suggestions are actually contradictory. So it's literally all across the board. Nor did they put in a disclaimer noting that. So you will find a lot of different things. But it does give you some food for thought, and I would encourage everybody to read the thing that Joe sent around.
Thank you, Will. Carol, Frank, Peter? Go ahead.
Well, I'm in pretty much agreement with what everyone said, but there's a couple of things that I did want to say for the people in the public who are listening to make a more even-handed presentation. One is that the property tax cap is not as hard a tax cap as it could be. It's not as hard a tax cap as in the state of Massachusetts, where to override it you need a public referendum with, I forget, 60% voters. It's essentially thought of impossible. We can override the tax cap with 10 of us voting for a budget that exceeds the tax cap instead of the 8 that we usually need. So it's not as if we can say that it's impossible for us to deal with this by raising the property tax cap. And another thing, again, to make a little bit broader picture of the governor, the couple of things the governor has done that impressed me very much. One is the ethics resolution that he is proposing, which I think is a good, strong ethics resolution, which would make New York as good as any other state in this regard. And I believe, I'm not positive of this, but I'm pretty sure that he is endorsing that same kind of, he's endorsing the Gennaris Valesky bill, which again makes, does redistricting, I think, in a way that is superb. So the governor is doing that. And just in passing, I read that the governor was doing something, and then I said to myself, hey, that's really good. I'm pleased with that. And that was that he said when he was going to cut school aid, he would do it not across the board, but he would do it for cutting the school aid to rich districts more than poor districts. And I said, well, that's plus two for him in my book. But last week I saw, I don't know how many of you saw the editorial in the Ithaca Journal by,
Kathy Zoller.
Kathy Zoller, where she pointed out that that's not true at all, that because of the fact that the poor districts rely sometimes 75 and 80% on school aid for their budget, and the rich districts rely 5%, that cutting the rich districts by twice as much might reduce their thing from the governor, their part of their funding that goes to the governor, from the state by about 2%, while for the poor districts it would cut it by 30%. So indeed, it is not a progressive way, not a fair way of doing it at all. So that's my judgment on our governor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Peter. Carol?
Is that on? Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay. I just had just a few takeaways. I mean, I generally don't have anything to add to the discussion about the budget, except that I share the perspective. I had an opportunity to chat several times after different meetings with the incoming president, Mary Pat Clark?
Hancock.
Okay. We were on first name basis, so I didn't get her last name down right here. And she, I was impressed with her. She struck me as somebody, she had the ability to walk into each of the meetings. She was sort of going around being introduced by Steve Aquario to each of the meetings, and she really had the ability to come in and articulate exactly what she thought was important about the work of that committee. I thought she just did that in quite an effective way. I wanted to share that she was this very animated, enthusiastic woman who was coming into meetings that were much more subdued and suited, and was able to make clear to people who sort of started out maybe by ignoring or trying to dismiss her that she really had something to say. So I think that she may be active and take a stance. The other takeaway that I had was just about Tompkins County and our participation, because I really came away feeling like Tompkins County really does make a difference. We can make a difference by participating in this group, and do. We came across, without exception, as being very well informed on the issues we were talking about, as active, not afraid to raise our voices no matter how large the group. Some examples would be, when you attend committee meetings, you can go in and have a voice on the resolutions that NYSAC is about to pass. I was able to add actually even by amendment, to a resolution the word sustainable development to a resolution about rebuilding New York's economy. It starts to raise consciousness, and it is now in the title. And then at the large luncheon, when it became clear that we were being stood up by a whole series of people, none of our luncheons, breakfasts had the speaker list that they started with. Martha was able to literally go up to the lectern and talk to both the president and Steve, who then proceeded to make much more dynamic speeches to the points that we have been making here than I think they were planning to make before we spoke up. And so I really thought that was well done. And then we were able to take that to our meetings at the Capitol with more force. So I urge people to get involved and go to future NYSAC conferences, both this one and others.
Thank you, Carol. Frank, and then Will, and then Mike.
Thanks, Martha. I was there specifically to attend the session and as a representative and a commissioner with the New York State Agriculture Blue Ribbon Task Force, elevating the importance of agriculture, or at least identifying it within the state of New York. There were about 46 or 48 other county and representatives from groups like Cooperative Extension and Farm Bureau. Several Soil and Water District folks were there too. Myself and my counterpart from Saratoga, Alan Gettridge, because of what we attended back in the summer over at Seneca Falls, the Empire Farm Days, we had another session that produced the first pass, actually the first report that I think I circulated to some of you with regard to agriculture. We're doing a second one now to identify all those other pieces besides dairy. Dairy was the focus of the first one. We're doing, of course, equine, swine, grapes, organic, forestry, landscape. We want to make sure that the folks that around the state understand the breadth of agriculture, which is still the state's largest industry, and they get the point that there's a lot going on. And in that same vein, Alan and I have agreed, we sort of agreed, we were told we would write the equine piece. They gave us an hour on the agenda to hit some of the highlights as far as the importance of various pieces of equine. And again, the person that has been extremely helpful to me is Jeannie Griffiths up at Cornell. She has been a wealth of information and very, very helpful. She's with Cornell Cooperative Extension and been extremely good to work with. We have to come back with a report. A representative from Farm Bureau was there, Ms. Suarez, who is their public relations outreach person. I think Pat and I met her at one of the dinners not too long ago. And two of the items that we were really strong about, because we want to elevate the importance and the recognition of agriculture, everyone is hot to trot about creating jobs across the state. Believe me, there are a lot of opportunities for jobs in agriculture. And individuals may think that all you're doing is shoveling manure out of the barn, and some of us do know about that. There are opportunities in chemistry, in nutrition, in food rationing, of course, the veterinary college and that type of outreach. There are a lot of opportunities for people who are interested in the agricultural field, and I rattled off some of the other pieces of this. However, The second item, the state, and I think Martha's been asked to serve on one of these economic zone. Well, we don't know about that yet. But at any rate, the governor is establishing these 10 economic focus areas, if you will, across the state. We want to make sure that agriculture has a seat on those. And there were representatives from Staten Island, from Brooklyn, from Westchester, and a couple of, you know, from Nassau and Suffolk, of course. Believe it or not, there's still agriculture going on in Suffolk County. I mean, some of you that have traveled down there know that, but certainly Jim knows it. But Ms. Suarez jumped right on that suggestion that we get a seat at the table on every one of these 10 zones, because Farm Bureau is very, very interested in making sure that that happens. I would be remiss to say that, you know, even though we were 3 hours from home and in Albany, Carol was there keeping an eye on me, because she sat in on most of the meeting and then had another commitment, because I looked over at one point and you were there and then you were gone. But she sat through most of the first part of the session, which was, I hope you found it interesting.
Can I tell you why I was there?
To keep an eye on me.
Well, that was that too. But we had been traveling since 6 o'clock in the morning and were scheduled to go over to the Capitol and miss lunch. And I figured that the Agriculture Committee, that the farmers would know how to feed us. And I was right.
You were absolutely right. Some of us couldn't finish the food. It was huge.
When you started talking about horse meat, I wasn't so sure.
But we're coming back together again for probably a committee meeting in the spring. And we want to have several resolutions ready for the fall NYSAC meeting. And I'm not sure who mentioned it. Maybe it was Will. That Tompkins County was very well represented at this entire conference. I wasn't able to stay for the additional days, but it was good. Steve Aquario mentioned to me at the earlier meeting, he said, every time I turn around, I see Martha. And he did say that. Darrell Albertine was at the Commissioner of Ag and Markets was at our meeting. So was Bill McGee, who chairs the Assembly Agricultural Committee. And I'm sorry, I can't remember this gentleman's name. He's the senator who took Dale Volcker's place. And he was at our meeting. And it was very, very well attended. We hope that we can pull this off in the fall and go from there. I would like to add one recognition, though. Some of you have worked as closely as I have with Barbara Blanchard. I had an opportunity to have a meeting with Barbara, matter of fact, two meetings, and she sends her regards to everybody. So it was very, very, very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Will?
Thank you, Martha. I wanted to take a slightly different tack from Peter's different tack, which was he was commenting on the impact of the tax cap, the fact that in theory we might have we could override it. I think, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, but that's based on the Senate the Senate version of the tax cap that is also the governor. What we don't know is how it's going to play out in the Assembly. It could actually be even better. The discouraging thing to me was that almost everybody we talked with was pretty confident that the Assembly was going to pass some version of a tax cap. Well, that's not true. Actually, we did talk with some people who weren't, but most of the people that were directly as part of the Assembly felt it was going to happen one way or the other. This community needs to really, really be paying attention to this a whole lot earlier than budget season, because if we are really forced to deal with the implications of a tax cap and the cuts that could flow from that, we're really going to have to, I think, make some very hard decisions, but also consider the possibility whether these services that we have enjoyed for many years are something we want to give in, or whether we will, as a legislature, consider an override. So I'm glad we're starting the budget process a whole lot sooner. I wish we were getting more support from Albany, but you know, the adventure continues.
Mike, then Brian, then Peter, and then Dooley.
When I've attended NYSAC in the past, I used to attend NYCOM, what I was always amazed by was the dysfunction of the state representatives from the various budget arms coming to address us, all having a different projection. There'd be the Senate budget official, there'd be the Assembly budget official, and there'd be the governor's budget official. And their object was to all argue about what revenues would be. And what happens is they argue that way, and then they sit around for 2 or 3 months to see who's right, see how much money there is to spend. Wondered if there was any unanimity on revenues this time, what you heard about that.
Peter?
Well, I heard a quotation someplace from DiNapoli who said that the projection of revenues was this time reasonable, and that has rarely been the case before.
Would that be the governor's projection?
Yeah. While I have the floor, very quickly, the override proposal that's in the Senate bill, the governor supports for the legislature.
But school districts do have to have...
School districts...
Now, school districts' budgets already go to the public, but... was it a 60%? Did they need a 60% to pass?
I believe so. I'm not positive.
Okay. Brian?
This is all very interesting information, and obviously I wasn't at the conference, but thanks for reporting back. I guess one thing that is clear to me is that the landscape is definitely going to be much different. What form that is, we don't know. It sounds like our elected officials in Albany almost don't even care what we think. They don't even bother to show up. You've got the Senate basically saying on positions like home rule, that, you know, they'll tell you right up front, you know, we're not going to consider it. That coupled with you have all sorts of studies still out there with regards to prisons, Medicaid, just overall government in general, trying to consolidate some things and so forth. My point is, we're going to start to be doing budget retreats and things of that nature real soon, and. As it stands right now, this is I can't imagine hitting a more moving target than we're going to be trying to hit this year, which and I can't believe that let me rephrase that. It wouldn't surprise me if the budget is passed way late this year, only because there's going to be so much deliberation, and they're not even deliberating on a lot of things until late. So we've got to hit a moving target in a short period of time, and to pick up on what Will said, we probably need to start right now as a body listening to our constituents, because it is going to be different, and priorities are going to have to be taken, and a cut to a service or service to keep it, maybe a lesser cut than some other ones are going to have. But that's the one thing that we can start doing right now, because I think it's inevitable that it's going to come, and ultimately it's going to be our decision as to what our priorities are. And those things we can start to do now.
Before I go to Dooley and then Frank again, I think you're right. The radio, WHCU usually calls me and, you know, schedules a thing after these meetings. And today they called, well, we looked at your agenda. Didn't seem like there was that much going on, so we thought we'd skip it this week. I said, actually, there's a lot going on. I'd like to. So I think it'll be Thursday, not tomorrow. But But this is something we really need to explain to the public. And you're absolutely right, Brian. The because tax cap sounds like a great idea. Although I think our community is somewhat sophisticated about mandates. We've been talking about mandates for a long time. The problem is, they've got, NYSAC's got this big booklet of suggestions. And I don't think any of us or any of our department heads would say that, the mandates are perfect. Don't change Medicaid at all. It's just great. And they've all got suggestions for how to streamline, how to make it more efficient, how to make it better quality. But all of those things will take minimum 18 months to put in place, to vet, to check about, to think about unintended consequences, to write the regulations, to all the things that they will have to do. We're unfortunately going to have to pass a budget, as you said, like in a minute, relatively. And this is one of the things that we said to the folks in the Capitol, is that we're going to be stuck because there will be people at that microphone in September and October not being able to believe the cuts we're going to have to put in place, and by then it'll be too late if the state's already done this. But I would also say it's not too late for citizens and for us to continue to carry this message that, for example, that we support the millionaire's tax. It's just an extension of the tax that's already there. I think that's like 65 or 70% of New Yorkers on polls have said that they support keeping that tax. That the mandates really need to be changed before the tax cap goes into place. One of the things that we did, I think, get across was the idea, we talked about carve-outs. In New Jersey, for example, their tax cap has some certain carve-outs. So we expressed to the governor's office that if you just, for example, took out the pension costs, carve that out, and if you look at what Joe handed, page 2, little graph on the bottom, the growth in pensions next year is about 4 times the growth in Medicaid. That's the big number. And if they passed a cap that excluded pension costs, that would help school districts, it would help towns, cities, et cetera, as well as us, and it would help us in real time at the same time as mandates are being reformed, because we know this is going to take time. So I don't want us to say that that we're opposed to reforming and redesigning the mandates. The issue is who's taking responsibility, and the idea that we can override it. Once again, it's we can take the responsibility for actually paying the costs. Albany's going to discipline us, but we'll be the ones who have to take the political chance of voting for a higher than the tax cap. So it's a little frustrating, but I think citizens and we can still have an effect. Dooley.
Well, you left me a few things to say. 2% is the number being put forward in proposed legislation, but it's 2% or inflation, whichever is lower, and so far inflation is even lower than that, so we shouldn't forget that little piece. And a lot of the discussion so far tonight has pointed out how difficult it is for counties in this situation. The counties aren't viewed as the partners of the state that we really are. We have no choice. That's what we do. But it isn't the counties that we should be worried about. It's our residents, because the cuts are going to be to services that our residents want. And I think that's the message that our residents need to understand sooner rather than later, so that they, too, may choose to lobby our state legislators about how harmful a tax cap is. It sounds really good. Property taxes will be lower, but it's going to result in cuts. Theoretically, it could be to the things we don't have to do, like the library or road patrol, things that people really want to have around. And that, I hope, is the message that we'll get out sooner rather than later locally.
Thank you very much, Julia. Absolutely. And then Frank, I saw your hand again.
Yes, thanks, Martha. nothing new about the NYSAC conference. It was frustrating, as some of you have already mentioned. But I was thinking about how do you solve the problem? Even the proposals that NYSAC has assembled, there's over 140, I think, in that book. Some of them are absolutely astounding. I mean, it's making sure that the counties don't have to cover the school district's past due taxes. I thought that was outstanding, David. The solution, there's no, and Martha was right, there's no way to implement anything. You're optimistic. I don't think we're going to have this done. I don't think they're going to have this done in 18 months. I think we're looking at a 2 to 5 year turnaround here, personally. If we want to avoid, and if the state wants to avoid the pain that Governor Patterson brought in, personally, I think he was right. And then I think he was trying to do the right thing, but he tried to do it too quickly. And there were a lot of organizations and areas that really took it on the chin. We need to get the state the message that this is like, you've heard it before, it's like turning a ship around. We're not going to do it. It took 50 years to get into this predicament. I mean, I don't care what side of the aisle anybody's on. There's just as much blame to go everywhere on this. We're suddenly realizing there ain't enough money to pay all the bills and to keep all the programs. What I was going to suggest, and I know that there's been some talk about meeting with the school district superintendent, I would suggest that we step back a little bit and examine the taxing districts that affect Tompkins County. Maybe it's time for us to have a conversation with our tax counterparts, the school districts, the towns, the city. You know, we all represent these little pieces, and we all wring our hands every single year. The school districts take it on the chin because that's always the biggest hit. Suppose we collaborate a little bit and find out if there's some common ground. Instead of just picketing, come up with some solution that we can come up with over a longer period of time. Because I like what Dooley said, we need to make sure our residents are protected and at least know what the effects of some of the decisions that, hate to say this, might be foisted on us are going to be. Transportation, you know, there's three of us here that are pretty close to the transportation issue because of the TCAT Association. And we were going over the STOA proposal that's in the governor's budget. It's about $30 million for the whole state. Guess what? That's down. This particular year compared to 2010 is slightly higher than last year, but from 2008 to the present time, it's gone down dramatically. And everybody's clamoring for better transportation. Well, guess what? If there isn't any money going into it, and it's a priority as well, it can't happen the way people want it to happen. So anyway, just one more thing to think about. I'd certainly like to, we could rent that hall that Joe was talking about, probably Barton Hall, and have a meeting with some of the counterparts and other government entities. But the school districts are the ones, we're the most public. We really are pretty good about, and talk about transparency, about getting our budget out and inviting people in and having a gazillion meetings. We always take it to the public a lot. The school district needs to do the same thing, but perhaps we need to work together this time around because they're going to get walloped too, and it's the same taxpayer. The city was complaining a week or so ago, as a matter of fact, I was listening to it riding up to NYSAC, they suddenly realized that 60% of their property is tax exempt. What a revelation. Some of us have known that for, 40 years or so? We need to get the message out. I'm sorry, you don't need to hear me go on and on, but I'd propose having some sort of a collaborative session with our colleagues in the other taxing districts so that we can come up with a joint solution that perhaps straddles several years, and maybe we can come out of this somewhat whole, or at least survive.
Jim and then Leslie?
A few things. I've noticed that the Ithaca City School District for the first time in recent memory, is actually beginning a discussion about their budget right now. And that generally is moved a lot to a later part of the year. The city of Ithaca, bless their hearts, are also doing the same thing. So, you know, I think the wake-up call is there, and clearly people are recognizing what they have to do in a quicker way than they've been able to do it before. I didn't go to the conference, but I may go one time because it sounds almost exciting to a certain point and to see. But, you know, I'm really more interested in what's going to happen in the next 5 months and the way Albany is going to respond, because the last governor literally carried on the government by just doing budget extenders. And this guy can do the same thing, and you know, we can all see the two reports, the mandate report and the Medicaid report, which were due like March 1st or thereabouts. It's going to be almost impossible to be done by that time. And you know, I think for me as a legislator and being a part of this county and all of you, that we just have to be really vigilant to see what goes on and watch how it all plays out. And the only thing I would add to, someone said, well, Tompkins County is always well represented. I would expect nothing less than anyone going down from this county and not being recognized for individuals that, you know, have a grasp on what's going on, at least back in their own county. So.
Thank you, Jim. Leslie and then Kathy.
Well, we can't talk about this enough, but Jim took the words out of my mouth to just say that, you know, the school district, to see they're beginning to talk budget real early. So, Frank, your point is absolutely right, that the time is right for all of us to get together and really talk about how we are going to protect our citizens, to see what kind of tax and increases we all can live with. Because that's something that we should start an early discussion around. What can we reasonably, collectively put on the citizens of our community, and what can we reasonably and collectively live without, and help support each other, and start conversations around consolidated services. It's really, really important, and I think the time is absolutely ripe right now for that. It's being forced on us, and we're just going to have to do it. But I also think it's important for us to emphasize to our constituents that they need to speak up, not just come here, but to help provide opportunities for them to speak to our representatives, to provide opportunities for those who may have difficulty communicating in writing, that they can sign on to whatever it may be, so the message can go out that people are watching, not just us who are in elected positions, but people who are really feeling the squeeze. So it is definitely ripe. Unlike Jim, I'm glad I didn't go, because I am not a glutton for heartache, and it sounds pretty heartbreaking just listening to some of your reports. And having been there, I don't know how much more I would have been able to take. So I do want to thank you all for going in, for being as involved and vocal as you were. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Kathy?
Thank you, Martha. So I heard there's an old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. I know that a lot of us, when we decided to run for public office, had no idea that we were going to be involved in some of these heartbreaking and really difficult times. I just want to zoom out the lens for a minute and say that listening to my president's State of the Union address, I was devastated to hear about, right in there, articulated cuts to community action programs. Jim and others of us have served on Tompkins Community Action, and there's a bunch of special meetings and webinars taking place. The only federal program that allows communities to directly address poverty, the sources of poverty, and allow people to have strategies for getting out of poverty, for rising out of poverty, instead of just anyway. So that's on my radar, but to zoom back in again, and in my mind's eye, this sounds a little bit like a pep talk. Take it however you will. I want to say that over these last years, as we've struggled with budgets, ever increasingly difficult budgets and horrible, more horrible decisions every year, one of the things that's become clear to me is that despite the broad range of our interests, we're fairly good at this. We're transparent. We manage to do three things that I think are really important and I think will be key to getting this done in a way that we can survive and still have our values as a county, and that is advocacy. We're really good at advocacy. Y'all's reports about what you did at NYSAC give an example about how you can do that at the higher levels. We're also better at, we do that to the federal level, and we do it here locally for not just the poorest of our residents, the middle class that's hemorrhaging right now, and the business community, which is having its own problems, entrepreneurs and small businesses. We do collaboration really well. We're often on the bleeding edge of collaborations, the healthcare consortium being one. I agree with Leslin. We're going to have to do some talks sooner rather than later about consolidation of services, and we're going to have to make some hard decisions. The other thing that we do really well and that many of us have done as a career is education. We're really good at educating ourselves, the public, and we're good at educating the larger community, whether it's the legislators or the corporations, who I think we're going to have to start bringing corporations to account, and we're going to have to say to corporations, this is a cost that you caused our community, and we need to find a way for you to pay it. So with the advocacy, collaboration, and education, we will get through this. It's horrible. Nobody's going to be happy with it, but I think we can do this. And I just want to say that I appreciate everybody's attitude and the fact that we don't have to like this to be good at it.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Appreciate those words. And I've determined that anytime I go to NYSAC, I'm scheduling some meetings in the Capitol. And even if NYSAC doesn't put that on the schedule, then I'm going. Anybody else wants to come, you know, they can join me. But it was it really mattered that we did that. And I want to thank Frank for helping to set up the meeting with the Senate Finance Committee. Barbara Lifton helped us got us the meeting with the Assembly staffers that we met with. And you know, Joe will give us the later this week. We have meetings with Barbara Lifton and Tom O'Mara. Jim Seward. Barbara Lifton over at her office and Jim Seward in Portland. So I hope any of you that can will join us. The just one of two other things. Tom DiNapoli did come, the comptroller. He came when he was expected. He was on the program. So was Senate Leader Skelos and Majority Leader Canestrari from the Assembly and Minority Leader in the Assembly Kolb and Minority Leader Sampson from the Senate. So they all did come. And, you know, Sheldon Silver didn't make it, and of course, Andrew Cuomo. But one other thing. I would take issue, Frank, with that you said there's not enough money. I think there's a bad distribution of the money. We have seen over the decades a bipartisan effort to reduce the property tax, income tax rates in New York State, but increase the services that are provided by New York State. The top income tax rate used to be 15%. It's now less than seven. So that's a lot of money that the state used to take in a progressive way, and the way that they did that over the years was to shift costs to the counties. And now people are complaining that the property taxes are too high. Well, they are, because property taxes are not progressive, and that's been a deliberate approach to providing services in New York State. And I think it's a lack of accountability in Albany, and I keep trying to call them out for that kind of thing. And what Nathan said at the beginning of this meeting is fits right in with that. So If there's nothing else on NYSAC, sounds like maybe they'd be interested in doing some kind of a public forum, maybe something, a meeting with our fellow taxing jurisdictions, and we'll pursue those ideas. So one other item on my report. Yesterday, speaking of collaborative services, the TCOG group, the subgroup of TCOG that has been talking for more than a year about doing something about cell tower siting, had our meeting, the first meeting with the consultant that we've hired, and this body put in $1,500 or so to bring that Steve's Zalantris to the county. Seven municipalities were represented. A number of you were there at the meeting. And so the initial take was there are a lot of constraints on municipalities with respect to siting of cell towers. However, the basic question of can we as a group of municipalities collaborate and kind of put out a map and say these are our preferred sites and these are our way less preferred sites, and we're going to have coordinated ordinances. We're going to have a consolidated effort on this. We asked the attorney. He said, well, he thought it was a really good idea, and he'd never heard of anybody else doing it before. So we said, well, that sounds like exactly the right kind of thing that we're going to do is something nobody else has done before. So I thought it was a very good beginning, and there's another meeting set up with the consultant, or will be set up with the consultant, and we'll stay involved and let you know how that goes. So I also have one appointment that is to the Workforce Investment Board, Amy Hendricks. I so appoint. So that's my report. Thank you all for participating in this conversation about NYSAC. Very important to spend the time on that. All right, County Administrator Joe.
Thanks, Martha. Just a couple of items tonight. A reminder that our legislative department head retreat has been scheduled. It's scheduled for March 2nd at 5:30. It'll be in the health department, new health department in their large conference room. This will be the last chance I think we have this year to talk amongst ourselves about things other than the budget. A couple of topics. One is how we do a better job at explaining to the public what programs we do provide and the value that is provided in those services. So it's a communication issue. The other is a broader topic about sustainability efforts that we can launch within the county. Sustainability basically is a governing principle for the county. So those will be the two topics at that retreat. We will soon work on our next retreat, another department head legislative retreat. We'd like to do it in early April, and that one will be about the budget. And that is kind of an early launch to 2012. That will precede your traditional late April meeting to talk about tax levy goals and things like that. So they're getting close to back-to-back, but again, March 2nd for the first one, and then date undetermined yet for the April retreat regarding budgets. Quick update from solid waste. Single stream will begin on March 7th. Big step forward. I know Barb Ekstrom will want to talk some more about that, and I know Carol is going to be talking about it as well, but there will be an education and communication plan that will go along with that that we will describe in greater detail at committee meetings and later. With respect to the meetings with state legislators, Martha alluded to the meetings we'll have this week with Barbara Lifton and Jim Seward. The meeting with Assemblywoman Lifton will be this Thursday at 2 at her office right across the street. The meeting with Senator Seward will be Friday at 2 in his office in Cortland. If anybody would like to attend, either we can carpool to Cortland or I can give you the address and we can meet there. But if you'll let me know if you have an interest in doing that. Last item on my list, I'd like to hand this out. You may recall that 15 county employees attended a session last year, a three-day session called Undoing Racism. There is another session that's being offered beginning late this month, and I'm passing around a flyer on that. There are 12 slots that we can fill for that program. It is, by all accounts, from the people that attended, an excellent session. It requires a three-day commitment. either three Mondays, three Tuesdays, or three Wednesdays. The first cycle would begin on February 28th. If any of you have an interest, let me know. We are also distributing this through department heads to members of county staff for them to have an opportunity to attend as well. So if you'll let me know if you have an interest in that. And that's my report.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions for Joe? County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Just a couple things. One, everything is moving forward as expected and well with regard to the Carpet Bazaar building, including title search and environmental testing, and we expect to close early next week. Second thing that Joe referred to, the change to single stream. Tomorrow is the date that the 10-year contract with Waste Management ends and the 10-year contract with FCR begins, which means changing over the facility and who's operating it. And so far, it's all gone very smoothly. And that's my report.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any questions? Frank.
John, can you remind me, are you orchestrating the next step in the road use law, or is
well, we have a meeting scheduled, I believe, for Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday,
with the heads of the committees and staff, to including Highway, to talk about where we proceed from here.
And do you think, well, part of that discussion, do you think, go towards the advisability of including anybody who was at that public information session that volunteered?
I'm certain that there will be talk about how to include the public, including those people.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. David Squires, Finance Director. No report. All right. Resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda. Pam?
Yes, I'd like to remove Resolution B.
You said B?
Yes, B.
Okay.
B is in boy.
Thank you. And Jim or Frank? Frank.
Yes, on advice of our county controller, I'd like to remove Resolutions G and H. But I'd like to ask Kathy to forward them as just information to David. We don't need to act on them. We can still accomplish the task. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. All right. I'll go through the consent agenda. If there's anybody wants to pull anything off, just say so. Resolution A, authorizing public hearings for housing, public facilities, and economic development needs for the Office of Housing and Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant Program before it loses $300 million. Resolution C, budget adjustment. That was off. C. Resolution D, authorization to accept American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 funds and budget adjustment, Health Department, D. And Resolution E, award of contract for electronic medical records project, Mental Health Department. And appointments, advisory board and indigent representation, Martha Robertson, Peter Stein. Stop DWI advisory board, Brian Robison. Local emergency planning committee, Peter Stein. Criminal Justice Advisory, Alternatives to Incarceration Board, Peter Stein. Traffic Safety Committee, Peter Stein. Brian Robison and Pam Mackesy. Agriculture and Final Land Protection Board, Edward Scheffler. Youth Services Board, Asher Hockett, Kathleen Schlauter. Mental Health Subcommittee, Tracy Decker, Paula Winner. Office for the Aging Advisory Committee, Satomi Hill. Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Board, Beth Harrington. And Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Nathan Shinagawa. We have a motion on the consent agenda. Frank moves, Will seconds. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, thank you. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam Mackesy, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Planning Committee met on the 2nd of February. The Planning Department brought forward their draft work plan for the year, which included a number of energy and housing strategy initiatives. Ed told us about the progress that they are making in hiring a new tourism person who will be lodged in the planning department, who will oversee the tourism program. There will be a pre-retirement housing survey that will be completed, looking for information on what demands may exist, anticipating demand when people retire in the community and perhaps want to downsize. Gary Ferguson from the Downtown Alliance spoke to us and talked about the study that they are going to be doing on, it's a housing market study, and this is actually probably going to be expanded to include all of Tompkins County to look at future demand that we can see in housing in the future. He also, Ed, this is back to Ed's marks as part of the agenda. He talked about the possibility, and I found this very exciting possibility, of putting together a Finger Lakes Regional Rural Sustainability project, which would be a cross-county effort, trying to look at common ground among all the counties in the Finger Lakes regions for economic development. I mean, we certainly agricultural areas, the wineries, we have a substantial tourism a component to our economies, and to try and come up with a vision of the Finger Lakes region as in the future. And I think that's just a great idea. There is also, they're working on a sustainability center someplace downtown, which would include the collaboration from Cornell and Ithaca College, talking about all of the key sustainability projects that are going on in our region. And that sounded like a lot of energy and effort and a very exciting possibility in front of us. We had a report from the Strategic Tourism Planning Board. Fred Bond came and talked to us. And always Fred gives a very lively report. One thing that we should be encouraged by is that the tax room dollar has increased by 7% since 2010 it did, which is good news. I mean, we had been struggling in that part of our economy as with other parts, but that seems to be coming along, and we can be encouraged by that fact. And we had a discussion that went on and on about the possibility of the county somehow weighing in favor of the proposed wind farm. I guess we had a windy conversation, you might say. And it was a very interesting conversation about what role the county should play in a private development like that and our commitment to wind energy. So it was a good one, and I think that there will probably be more discussions around that issue. Thank you. Oh, and I have one resolution.
Yes.
Resolution F, and it's the appointment of the Industrial Development Agency. And I think I'm going to read the names of the appointees. There are four legislative appointees: Nathan Shinagawa, Will Burbank, Jim Dennis, Martha Robertson. And at the at-large members are Jeff Furman, Dan Kogan, and Larry Baum. And I so move.
Is there a second? Pat seconds. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution F, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Any questions for Pam? All right, thank you very much, Pam. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. We had a meeting the other day, and two passed four resolutions. Two of them were pulled. So our next meeting will be to
2 weeks from then, which is the 28th of February. And David Squires, I wanted to mention one thing. David Squires gave us our monthly sales tax distributions, as he always does. And from January 2010 to January 2011, we had a 4.2% increase. But I was looking at the numbers, and it got us up to about $3,409,000, which was within $200 of being what we were in 2009. But the years prior to 2010, there were three of those 4 years that were higher than what we ended up with in 2010. So we look at sales tax figures, and that seems to be an important thing with this when we look forward. But we also have to keep in mind that those sales tax numbers are just now coming back to where they were 3 and 4 and 5 years ago, and there's never been a huge amount of fluctuation in that number from 06 to 2010. So keep that in mind when we get to those significant times down the road. So it was an interesting number to me, and I thought that I'd want to share that. But other than that, I have no more to say. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Pam?
I am sorry, but, and this may be inappropriate, but we were remiss in not appointing Pat Pryor to the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. And I believe that that was a committee appointment. So I guess we can't do that now. We have to, take it back and have the committee do it.
Was she appointed at the committee? But you're saying it's supposed to come
was
here
she?
Too?
Yeah,
well,
we
did appoint her, didn't we?
Yeah, because
she's here.
She's a replacement for you.
Yeah.
And we took care of that at the committee meeting.
Well, that's what I thought we did, and somehow it didn't make it into the minutes.
Do we have to do
committee.
That here? Is that, would that go on the consent agenda? Is that what
it's voted to see that it would have to come from the legislature. It could be done on the consent agenda, the next meeting.
Okay.
Could Pam make it as a motion from the floor?
Sure.
Could I do that?
Maybe after the budget committee is done.
Okay, sorry.
I think I saw Peter's hand in relation to the budget committee.
Yeah, my jaw dropped when at Jim's report. I mean, I always knew that the county was whatever it is, 30 square miles surrounded by reality, but apparently we are not victims of the recession. Is that what you're saying? I mean, the sales tax revenue is
contrary. Matter of fact, I'm not saying that. In fact, if you look at monthly numbers, you will see that they fluctuate, but there are no huge amounts. It doesn't go up, but it does go down, and in 5 years, the growth has stayed pretty similar. So, you know, that in itself.
Well, that is the message then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it dropped significantly in 9 and 10. So by saying we
No,
had
I thought Jim said it was back to what it was at 7 and 8.
No, that was 1 month.
Oh, okay. All
that
right.
Was
I
one
forget
month.
What I said.
And January is like the best, one of the best months because of Christmas numbers being in there, holiday numbers being in there.
And I think tourism dollars, the way I've heard Fred Bond talk about it, we show a nice increase from 2010 over 2009, but 2009 was a collapse compared to 2008.
Okay.
Right? So it all depends what you're comparing it to.
Yep.
Kathy, Jim, you
know? Thank you. Yeah, Jim, I'm glad you brought up that point because it highlights as we lament our budget woes how important it's going to be going into the budget season that we not expect our 1 to 4% increase in sales taxes that we've come to rely on. And although to some people's perspective, we might be recovering. In fact, you know, for us, we're not anywhere near where we were, and we're not going to be recovering as fast as we had hoped. So that's what I got out of it anyway.
Carol?
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing a little chart or table that gives the annual figure for the years
you're talking about, if that
I'm sure we can produce
that. Would be interesting to see, or maybe even a longer period.
I'm sure we have produced that.
Yeah. In fact, I think at the end of the calendar year, Joe, am I right that the state sales tax numbers went up on average better than ours?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the state average was 4.4%. We were up, I think, 3.7 or 3.8.
Does that sound right? Well, our share was up 4.
So the state was up a blip beyond where we were.
All right. Jim, Resolution C was your committee and public safety. It's public safety is the primary committee. Okay. I'll go to Peter with that one. Actually, Peter's next. Public Safety Committee. In other words, the
right. We passed Resolution C in consent, didn't we?
No, it was pulled off.
Oh, all right.
So you have a report, and then you'll go to.
Yeah. Well, I have no report except to say that we approved that resolution, and we did not have a meeting since the last legislative meeting, and our next meeting will be on the 22nd. I would like to move that Resolution C.
Okay. Is there a second for Resolution C? Frank.
I was seconded.
All right, it's been seconded by Frank. Dooley, you took it off?
I took it off because I wanted to understand the resolution better. I thought maybe it would have been clarified at the Budget Committee meeting, if not at Public Safety. The 2011 adopted budget didn't incorporate arbitration award salary adjustments in the Sheriff's Department salary lines because the precise amount had not yet been arrived at, as I understand it. But funds were accordingly set aside in the 2011 budget to provide for the required adjustments resulting from the arbitration award. And so this resolution says that the Director of Finance should make the following budget adjustments. And I think it's to the adjustments represent the back salary for the years 2007 and 2008, 2006 and 2007. I don't know the right years to put in there.
Well, it's been changed. The resolution.
David can answer that.
David, well, we didn't get a revised copy.
Yeah, right? David has a revised copy.
Yeah, I discussed this with Peter, and so we were recommending to change it so the first. To swap the whereases, so I'll read it. Whereas funds were set aside in the 2011 budget to provide the required salary adjustments resulting from the arbitration award covering the period March 1st, 2006 through February 28, 2008, and whereas the 2011 budget did not incorporate the arbitration award salary adjustments in the sheriff's 2011 salary lines.
That's perfect. If there had been a copy of the revised resolution in here, I certainly wouldn't have taken it off. I didn't know about it. Thank you.
Let's vote.
Okay. Ready to vote on the revised resolution? Jim?
Okay.
Okay. All right. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Is that your report, Peter?
That's the end of my report, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I would entertain the continuation of the PDQ report.
Yeah, and I really apologize for this. Part of the reason it happened was I was not working from my own notes. I was working from somebody else's notes, which did not include that appointment. So I would like to move that Pat Pyer be appointed to the Soil, Water, and Conservation District Board.
Seconded by Will. And Pat would accept that?
Does
she have
references?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Who are your references?
How long has she lived in the county?
All in favor of the appointment, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. And thank you, Pat. And thank you, Pam. All right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Let's let me be Claiborne Chair.
The only thing I was going to do was mention the Undoing Racism workshop series. Thank you, Joe, for bringing the fire about it. I will encourage as many people, I know we only have 12 slots, but to go. And the last round that a number of us attended, there were certainly mixed feelings, but it's a series that leaves you thinking. Really deep thought and continued conversations need to happen after it's over to really get folks to process some more of some of the thoughts and some of the feelings and that come up during this series. So one of the things that we hope to continue to work on with our personnel department is to set up those conversations, those debriefing, continued discussion portions so folks can get stuff off their chest or just continue to explore the thoughts and feelings that came up for them during this series. I found it to be very, very good when I was there and would encourage as many people as are able to please attend. Other than that, there's no report from WDIC.
Thank you, Leslie. And Joe, that by saying it, we have 12 slots, that means the county's paying the registration fee?
That's correct.
Thanks.
I just also, not that you need reminding, but I do have to make my public service announcement that it is Black History Month, and there are a number of activities happening in our community, both around Black history, African American history, but also just around issues of unity and being united against hate and all of the isms that plague us. And so I encourage all of you to pay attention to the college and university sites, to local community organizations and things that are going on. And on that note, I will make my shameless plug that I do every year, that this Friday, the 18th, is the annual GX Annual Community Black History Month Community Talent Show. And so there are a number of community members who come. This is your opportunity to come, Joe, and blow your flute. I know you are an accomplished flutist or banjo player, whichever it is. So please do. It's from 6:30 to 8:30 at GIAC, and you all are invited to attend.
Thank you, Les.
The house band will not be performing this year. Okay. I know you'll miss it. That's my report.
All right, thank you very much, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee did meet on the 9th. We had a discussion, well, actually, I put the word out wanting to get a reaction to the President's comment regarding the block grants. And as it turns out, of course, nothing has transpired. It was simply a comment in the State of the Union speech. But the ripple effect through the community has been severe because a lot of organizations, particularly TCA, Tompkins Community Action, as Kathy has already mentioned, is very apprehensive about what the fallout could be. This does not really directly affect any of our departments, but it does affect some of the services because some of the clientele are our clientele as well as TCA's. The committee dealt with several resolutions, some of which have already been done. I wanted to mention the effect of the proposed budget that the governor put out regarding the Office for the Aging. Lisa mentioned that the EPIC program was going to be severely hurt because it's not in the budget. It's not in his proposed budget. It's really a shame. We had a presentation from DAMI, from the Women's Opportunity Center. I think this had already been reported in the media, but just to give you a heads up, the Women's Opportunity Center lost almost $700,000 in state funding. There's a possibility that some of that may be restored, but DAMI was very blunt that at least half of it will not be restored, and it's devastating to their programs. She was very glib about the effect, and she gave us a handout sheet that outlined that. The good news, and some of this you've already heard, is Betty Falco from the Health Planning Council announced that through the Health Planning Council, they received a five-year grant that is going to be about $240,000 a year for 5 years that will be collaboration with Cooperative Extension and the County Health Department in promoting healthier forms of living, fruits, vegetables, and increased physical activity. The two communities that they are concentrating on for the first 2 years are Dryden and the city of Ithaca. There's a lot of interest in making sure that individuals are eating healthy and transitioning so that an ounce of prevention in this case can really be a pound of cure. After the first 2 years, Betty indicated that they'll be hopefully moving this into other communities in the county. I have the committee received a brief outline, and if you'd like a copy of it, we can arrange that. What we found interesting, and Pam, you'll appreciate this, Jean Lassess, who stepped down from the planning department, is the new coordinator for this program through our planning council. So we will be seeing more and more of her as the year goes on. You should have had in your boxes an invitation from Meals on Wheels to deliver meals. I believe it's March 23rd. If you have an interest in doing that, please sign up and get a hold of the Food Net program. The phone number's on there. I'm almost done, Martha. The public health director's search, I had an update from Joe. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the meeting on Friday, but the individuals have been winnowed down to several, and there will be a second round of interviews being scheduled now. The hope is still to hit the deadline of early spring if we can. Joe, did you want to add anything to that?
No.
Okay. And last but not least, Martha had asked some time ago in the guise of making sure that we send through NYSAC, Martha's on the committee for the Medicaid reform. We expanded this, though, a little bit. We're scheduling a special meeting of Health and Human Services, the Health and Human Services Committee with our departments and some of our agencies. The purpose is twofold. One is to get some feedback on the effect of the Medicaid reform and whatnot so Martha can go with some ammunition when she helps with that report that I think I heard Will say was due March 1st. Or maybe it was Jim that said that. The second part of it is we want to get an idea of, and this is really speculative, but get an early heads up on what the effects from our departments might be with regard to the governor's budget proposal. It's important that we get some feedback there. And those of you that attended the NYSAC conference, I know Will certainly is on the committee, on the health committee, and of course Martha will be there and Joe will be there as well, but this is open to any legislator. We want to get your, and so do the department heads, they'd like to get your feedback on what you learned at NYSAC, Freudian slip, NYSAC. That meeting is Tuesday, March 8th at 3:30 in the old jail conference room. Tuesday, March 8th, 3:30 in the old jail conference room. We're trying, Bob DeLuca at Mental Health has a little bit of a scheduling problem, and we're going to try to work something out where we can accommodate his timetable. But beyond that, any of you are welcome to sit in because we're going to have quite a group there. The next meeting of the committee is March 9th. Next formal meeting is March 9th. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions? All right, Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yeah, we heard a report from Barbara Ekstrom, and who also has asked me to convey to you that the
solid waste and recycling center contract starts at midnight tonight, and she assures us that people should not see a change from that. We shouldn't be noticing that, but that people will see a change on Monday, March 7th, with the transition to the single stream recycling. People should be watching, for she will be distributing an email and asks that we distribute that to our various email lists or listservs if we have them. Our residents will receive a brochure, a recycling brochure, and information decals on their large containers with information. The website, her website will be updated if people want to look for more information there. We heard a report from Don Ellis, Weights and Measures. Somehow he has managed to add 40 new devices to the 1,762 devices he already tests each year. And for the most part, his sense is that, the people are in compliance. Businesses are in compliance. And for those scales that were off, they have often been off in the favor of the county, and so people were happy to know that they could be corrected, that the measuring could be corrected. Joe reported to us on the Public Works Reorganization Transition Plan. He's created a detailed set of evaluation criteria so that as that moves forward, we will know how success will be determined there. And he'll be informing us more about that as that moves forward. We had discussion about the follow-up on the road preservation law. Staff and chairs of the committees are following up. I want to note that on that one, that the response that we received from the public in response to our request for public input is, I think, a real indication that what we are doing is going about things the right way, that our process is working right. We have consulted with people over the course of the year. We held an informational meeting. We held a public hearing. We've received response, and we will be proceeding to investigate that response. Staff will be looking in detail at the comments. We'll be looking at how we defined the standards that were set in our original draft. We're committed to further communication, as Frank asked, with stakeholders, with the general public, and with the TCOG Roads Group that's been meeting. So look for more on that. AREL highlights from AREL's report to us on facilities projects. He was really pleased to get 10 bids for the exterior work on the old courthouse building. He is still in the process of selecting one of those. Those ranged from over $500,000 to under $300,000. It was a real selection of bids. What was notable was that even the lower end of those bids were quite professional presentations, full color bound presentations from some of them. So he was very pleased that there will be a selection. He's also received 4 bids on the Center of Government business case analysis, and he's working on that one as well. So we should hear more about that. Other good news from AREL is that he's pursuing further information about whether the courts might owe us an extra approximately $50,000 for facilities reimbursement. So that would be good news on that front. And then we also had a very interesting discussion introducing the notion of project labor agreements. And interestingly, within a few days, I heard about this concept from two different directions. There were some of our members had attended a meeting that was presented by the Federation of Labor Councils, the regional federation. So this is something that labor is interested in having us consider. And then I heard about it at NYSAC from a gentleman from Niagara County who was clearly coming from a very conservative perspective. He had been participated in discussion on some other issues and then brought up the ways in which Niagara County and Niagara Falls had set up one of these very successfully that everybody seems to be happy with. So that's something that we might hear more about in the future, needs a whole lot more investigation, but the committee had an interesting discussion about that. We have a full plate for the year. We hope that you will come and join us anytime. Our next meeting is Friday, March 4th at 9:30.
Thank you, Carol.
Questions?
Any questions? All right, Capital Plan Review Committee. We met on February 10th. We talked again about the courthouse and the renovations for this building. I wanted to just kind of put in your heads that I didn't, at the last minute, I didn't really talk about the dollar amounts because they're still to be negotiated between us and Office of Court Administration. But the total project is north of $3.5 million. And there are specific requirements about whatever part of it we fund, how it can be funded. It will also require a significant amount of ARELS time to manage this project. It's a big project. So it's something we're really going to have to start building into a year or two down, probably starting next year. Joe is trying to get information on how capital expenditures like this will or will not be counted in the property tax cap. I can't think of anything more galling than if all of our tax cap gets used up by paying for renovations to this courthouse. Could happen. We'll see. We heard about the about Carpet Bazaar, and Arel gave us a report on the environmental tests that have been done. As Jonathan said, everything has come out clean, and we have a closing on February 22nd. Ed Marks gave us a sat down with Arel, I think, and worked on a timeline between now and 2013 for the various projects that are really in the works, including Carpet Bazaar, moving programs out of the old library, and beginning to think about the Center of Government project. The sort of headlines are that we are hoping to have information developed by October to have a legislative decision on the Center of Government. We are hoping that by December, COFA will be able to move to Carpet Bazaar. And they had initially put down that we would be moving out of the old library during 2012, but there was quite a bit of discussion about that, really hoping that we can move that up to make that, as Mike said during the meeting, that we really don't want to, like, cross our fingers and try to stay in that building another winter. So Ed will be revising that timeline, but we're really trying to look ahead and figure out how we're going to manage all these projects. It's going to be quite a juggling act, I think, especially for Arel. As Carol said, the Center of Government proposals have been in. Arel feels he's got two qualified candidates, four local vendors. All the vendors who answered the RFQ were local, and he'll make a recommendation to our committee at the next meeting. So those are the headlines from Capital Plan Review. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Government Operations Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Government Operations Committee will be meeting again on this Thursday. That's the 17th. At 9:30 a.m., we'll be talking about things like our minutes policy. We'll be talking about the possibility of going forward with cable broadcasting from some of the other buildings in the county. And we'll be talking about certainly the redistricting effort that we've been moving forward here for the last 3 or 4 months. I'd like to second very much what Carol Chock has said about the road preservation law. You know, a lot of people are very, they don't believe that our public hearings, that we listen to folks. I think this is a very good example that we do listen. I've always been a fan of public hearings. People think I'm crazy when I say that. But I really like to hear what people say when we have local laws or other issues come to us. Sometimes they say things that I already know. Sometimes they say things that I hadn't even thought about. And I think that's what is so good about the process that we have. We don't rubber stamp things. And this is a good example of a law that's designed to protect our roads, to protect our county taxpayers from the expense of heavy impact. The law probably needs some tweaking. We've heard that loud and clear from some of the folks at the public meetings and the public hearing. And now we're going to sit down with the our groups at the county, and then we will probably add, Frank, we will probably add folks from the outlying community who may have some particular suggestions for us. I think that would be useful. But I firmly believe that the intent of this law remains a good one.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike? Frank.
Mike, I'm sorry. I was concentrating on the road use law. Can you say what the timetable is for, you mentioned the redistricting as a discussion. Can you say where we are with collecting the names?
Well, we're just taking names in general, the folks that may have some interest. They can be forwarded to the board office. We're going to be discussing what we think we should recommend at the GO committee to this legislature for a structure for the committee. And once that is approved, then I think it'll be time to come up with a process of looking at those names that have come in, continuing through whenever we get ready for them there, and selecting those diverse candidates, people who are well-informed, people who will do a good job for the legislature.
And I'm sure publicizing that, you know,
yes,
that we have this process and making a concerted outreach.
But we're not to the point of designating any particular people at this point.
You'll still receive names.
Yeah.
Okay.
Karen Fuller is keeping a list. If someone wants to volunteer, or someone out there in our audience wants to volunteer, they can call the board office. If any of the other legislators want to suggest people, we can put on there. We're glad to have that as well.
Thank you, Mike. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much, Mike. I forgot to mention that this is the package of resolutions that we passed at NYSAC last week, and I'll put them on the top of our mailboxes for anybody to have a look. They're probably online as well. And by the way, the NYSAC website's been redesigned, and it looks great. It really works very well, too. Minutes of the February 1st meeting. Can I get a motion on those? Will moves them. Dooley seconds them.
I'd like to second them with adding the revisions that have been handed in by several people.
Well, if that's not friendly to Will, then you'd have to make a motion.
That's why I'm saying what I said.
To with what changes?
There were, in the red folders, there were a couple of different packets of changes.
Okay.
I guess I'd like to say one thing about the changes. There's one paragraph with changes for Joe Mariana's comments, and those are his changes. I had given him that portion of the minutes to look at to see if it reflected correctly what he said, and he had some other wording. So that's what's in there for him.
Pam?
Yes, there are two paragraphs under the section report from the Capital Plan Review Committee, and they're changes to what I said, and I actually like the way that my words were represented in the original, so I would not like those to be included. I guess, do I move to amend?
Which paragraph?
To the last two paragraphs under the report from the Capital Plan Review Committee.
All right, I'm looking at, it's a change suggested by myself and Dooley's. Now you've got, so the second to last paragraph is a change to fit in with the cityscape and to help the city tax revenue. Is that?
I'm saying that I want it back to the original, right. As I do my comments in the next paragraph.
All right, I'm trying to confirm what the original is.
I'll move it as an amendment.
Okay. All right. If we are back in your packet.
On page 31.
Packet page 31?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Everybody got that? All right. That's moved as an amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Peter, seconds. Okay. Any comment on that?
Yes.
Kathy?
So am I to understand that the proposed changes to the minutes, besides including wording changes to county employees, now are including changes to legislators' speech, that perhaps those legislators are not in agreement with?
Well, let me say, that was not one of my changes. I didn't do anything to Pam's comments there. I guess that was Dooley's change.
They would not have made it into this copy had I been able to reach Pam. I talked to her before the meeting tonight and pointed out, and that's why they're being taken out.
I heard Pam make the motion, so what I'm understanding is that the paper that has been passed around to all the legislators that the public can't see right now, and that no one is reading from directly, involves changes to draft minutes that involve proposed changes not just to employees' statements, but also included before Pam had them and is suggesting having them removed, included changes to legislators' wording. The reason I'm asking this is precisely why I've been voting no on the minutes and why I'm very pleased that the Government Operations Committee is looking at this, because I believe that these kinds of changes reflect a policy change that the legislature has not voted on, has not weighed in on, and that we have actually been acting on in a way that is unusually untransparent and very risky as far as I'm concerned. That's why I'll be voting no to it.
Frank, and then Will.
Thanks, Martha. I just want to make sure I understand for clarity. The packet page 31, I guess agenda item, page 21, top of that page, the two short paragraphs that begin with Ms. McAsey, you're pulling both of those paragraphs?
No, I'm not pulling them. I'm just saying that I want them to be as the original had them to be, not with the proposed changes, which were in our red packet.
There's no change in the last paragraph to your words that I know of.
Yeah, that's why I was confused.
That's why I'm asking it.
Okay.
The ones that were distributed to us with the agenda,
sorry,
not the ones that Dooley has added to the red folder. The ones that are in the original draft, those you want to stay as is.
That's right.
Okay,
I'm basically what I'm saying is I want it to stay.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So how should what's the motion then?
We're on the amendment now. We're working. I'm on
yes.
my amendment.
What is
and what's relevant is the second to last paragraph.
Right.
There's a
That's
change
right.
there. It's just the one paragraph.
What's the proposed amendment, Madam Chair?
Instead of saying
it goes to what was originally in our minutes, in the proposed
right.
minutes.
Okay, so
in our packet. That's what I want that paragraph to say.
There's a period after building, right. And the red lines come. The red.
So the red text is added. That's the change.
He may not even have seen these. These are one pager in
it's
your.
It's in our folders.
This.
In your folder.
Yeah. All right. I think I saw Will and then Jim and then Carol.
I'm sorry. I was going to call the question, but I'll yield it for
other. Okay, Jim.
Are you making a motion to call the question?
Yes, making a motion to call the question.
All right, that's been moved to second. To call a question on the amendment, Peter seconds, on the amendment to remove, to fit in with the cityscape and to help with city tax revenue, which has the effect of putting this, Pam, save it back to the original as in the minutes we were received in the mail. All ready to vote on that, to call a question, if you're in favor of any debate on that topic, please raise your hand. Opposed? Question is called. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay. Now, Carol.
Yeah. I will support the changes to the minutes. I think it's very clearly marked here in red what the proposed changes were. I appreciate that we got them in writing. Because we have them clearly marked in red, and a lot of them are grammatical, and those that aren't are very clear, I'm happy to vote for them.
Are we ready to vote? We have the minutes as amended with the one exception. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. The minutes as amended are approved 11 to 4. That concludes our main business. Can I get a motion to go into executive session?
Madam Chairman, may I have a request? I don't mind the changes to the minutes, but we get them when we get here. If it's possible at all to get them before that, and I can read and compare, because right now I'm not feeling like I'm able to really vote on the minutes, not having had a chance to really read this. I just opened my red folder.
I sent mine by email on Sunday.
I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Okay, anything else? I get a motion to go into executive session for real estate negotiations, labor negotiations, and a personnel matter. Moved by Jim, seconded by Mike. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. I do not expect to take action on coming out of executive session. Thank you very much. We'll take a 5-minute break so we can shut down the cameras.